Tonight we're going to discuss a halacha that is extremely practical and is often the source of some debate at minyanim, and even probably more often the source of awkwardness. That a bal tefila finishes his silent shmon esrei, he looks around to see how many other people have finished, and he counts. 7, 8, he's not sure. Does he start Chazar Shad? Someone's motioning that he should go. Others are just, pretending they don't see him because they're afraid that they might be asked for an opinion. So what exactly is the halacha in terms of when one is supposed to start Chazar Shad? Now that's one wrinkle in terms of just how many people you need to answer to know when to start Chazar Shad. The other angle is if there's a rabbi in the room, that it doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara or anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is different, but it doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara explicitly that you have to wait for a rabbi, but it seems to be that there is a minhag that people wait for the rabbi or for Shemon Esrei at least, sometimes for Shema, usually for Shema as well, sometimes even for each paragraph of Psukei Dezimra, that just to allow for the pacing. So the question is that based on anything that there should be waiting for a rabbi? And what if the rabbi davens extremely slowly? What if the rabbi davens so quickly that he's faster than most of the minyan? That he's faster than most of the tzibur? I think tefillah for, I guess people change throughout their lives. When I started in Rabbanus, I guess my tefillah still leaves a lot to be desired, but even more to be desired. I was one of the fastest Shmon Esreis in the room, so it was always like embarrassing. I look around and I'm like the only one finished. So then I started observing that, what it says in Shulchan Aruch to actually say it loud enough that you could hear it. Then I just couldn't say it that fast, so I didn't know what I was doing. But to what extent does the rabbi determine the pacing of the tefillah also? So let's take each of these issues one at a time. Now I give you a more traditional Maror Makomos packet like I always do this week, but in the back I also wrote it up this morning, so if anyone has ha'aras on how it was written up, the last four pages are just a written up version of this shir, so you can take a look later or whatever, or not, but that is just to let you know that that's there. Now in order to discuss how many people you have to wait for in order to start Chazar Shatz, we first have to discuss why it is that you need a minion at all for Chazar Sashatz, meaning we'd know that when we daven b'yechidus that there is no Chazar Sashatz, and when we daven with a minyan, there is Chazar Sashatz. So Chazar Sashatz fits into the category of that which we call a Davar Shebekdusha. Davar Shebekdusha has a certain number of features to it. Typically it is done by Amira Va'aniya, it's done in some sort of responsive form, it requires Amida, typically, and it requires a minyan. So Chazar Sashatz, Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, these types of things are considered to be Dvarim Shebekdusha. They require a minyan. We've mentioned in the past that Rav Soloveitchik thought that that there are certain other piyutim that were meant to be modeled after a Dvar Shebekdusha and meant to mimic a Dvar Shebekdusha, and therefore were composed in a similar way with responsive recitation, Amida, that kind of thing. So he said, Rav Soloveitchik had said that in Europe that it was the most common practice was that L'chadodi, Kaladon is different from Sparta Brooks Kriya Shema, but L'chadodi was meant to be recited responsively, and it was meant to be recited standing up as part of Kabbalah Shabbos. Gemara Bava Kama implies that Kabbalah Shabbos is supposed to be done standing up, and that was the traditional way of doing it. And then at some point later on in history, probably at the beginning of the Young Israel movement, in the beginning of the 20th century, they found that it flows a lot easier when you just all sing it together. So once everyone's singing it together, they're taking away the whole mimicking the Davar Shebekdusha. Once you take away the whole mimicking the Davar Shebekdusha, you might as well sit. So we thought that it slowly spiraled down to no longer be a Davar Shebekdusha, but a feature of a Davar Shebekdusha is that it's supposed to be Sarani of Amir. Now the Chadodi is not an actual Davar Shebekdusha, it doesn't require a minion, it's a piyut. You could say it whenever you want, you could sing it right now if you want, but an actual Davar Shebekdusha requires a minion. So where do we find a requirement for a minion? So the Gemara said for a Davar Shebekdusha, the Gemara in Brachos Tav Chaval Vav Beis, source number one, V'chein amar Rav Ad bar Ava, minayin she'ein hayachid omer kedusha. How do I know that a yachid cannot say kedusha? Shenemar v'nekdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Kol davar shebekdusha lo yei pachos me'asara. Since it says v'niktashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, we see that you need a minyan. Problem is, my mashma. Where do you see minyan? I see v'niktashti, I see kedusha there, I see b'nei Yisrael, so I know there's got to be Jews, but where does it say anything about a minyan of Jews? So the Gemara explains, d'tanya rab noya chud rabbi chibaraba. Asya toch toch. It's the word besoch b'nei Yisrael, v'niktashti besoch. That word toch is what indicates that a davar shebekdusha requires asara. How so? Ksiv hacha v'niktashti betoch b'nei Yisrael, ksiv hasam, he badlu mitoch ha'eda hazos. That the Meraglim were called Ha'eda Hazos. So Mitoch Ha'eda Hazos teaches us that since there were 10 Meraglim that one had to separate from, the Yeshua and Kalev had to separate from, so the Toch is a reference to 10 people. Mala Halan Asara Afkan Asara. I'm sure there's some good mussar to be had from the fact that we derive the requirement for a minion for any Davar Shebekdusha from the Meraglim, who do not quite go down as heroes in the annals of Jewish history, but nevertheless, it is that is the source. Toch, toch. It happens to be that the Yerushalmi has a little bit of a different source, and it may matter lahalacha, but not for our purposes, not for the halachas that we're going to be discussing this evening. Now, is this a din d'oraisa that you need a minyan for a davar shebekdusha? And that's a critical question for us, because if we're going to have any sort of suffix about whether you consider the number of people that have finished Shmon Esrei to be a minyan or not a minyan yet, so if we're going to have any sort of suffix, it's going to be critical to know whether we're dealing with din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan, because obviously suffix d'oraisa l'chumra, suffix d'rabbanan l'kula. Now, when you read the Gemara, What impression do you get? That's a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? D'oraisa. Why? Because it's psukim. It's a gzera shava. Ain't nothing done gzera shava me'atzman. There must have had a tradition going back to Har Sinai to make this gzera shava. It's one of the yidgim l'midah shatorah nidreshes ben. So it's a din d'oraisa. That's what it would seem. The Rosh in Maseches Brachos in the 7th perek seems to assume otherwise. Not seems to assume. It pretty clearly assumes otherwise. The Rosh in Maseches Brachos discusses, the Gemara over there talks about how Rabbi Lazar was Meshachar's Eved, because he was in a shul once, and they counted, he came along with his Eved, I guess he needed help getting there, and they counted the people in the shul, and there were 9 plus the Eved. So Rabbi Lazar decided he was going to take one for the team. He was Meshachar the Eved, he freed the Eved now counts toward a minion, and there he is, he's got his minion. So the Rosh says, I don't understand. There's an Issa, the Gemara already discusses a little bit, there's an Issa d'oraisa, an Issa say, you're not allowed to be Meshachar an Eved. That Lolem Bem Tavodu, you're supposed to keep the Eved until the Yovel year. How is he allowed to violate this Issa? So the Gemara says, oh, it was because of Mitzvah d'Rabim. There was a mitzvah that the people, that the masses needed him, that a group needed him, and therefore the mitzvah d'rabim beats out the Isra of Leolam Bam Tavodu, and asks the Rosh, I don't understand what sort of mitzvah d'rabim there could have been that would beat out the mitzvah, the Isra say of Leolam Bam Tavodu. Leolam Bam Tavodu is d'oraisa. What on earth is d'oraisa that requires a minyan? Mitzvah d'oraisa could typically be fulfilled without a minyan. Where do you ever have a requirement, mid'oraisa, for a minyan? So in the course of that discussion, the Rosh writes, I bolded that section, source number 2, Va'afilu avimilsa d'rabbanan, kigon l'shmoa kedusha ubarchu, shalom matzinu lo ikur min ha-Torah. Even if there is some need, like a drabana need for kedusha, for baruch hu, which clearly is ein lo ikur min haTorah, is not based on a din d'oraisa, afilu achi dachi aseh diyachid. And they you would say that it's docha the aseh diyachid. So he says, because it can't be that we're talking about a requirement for a minyan d'oraisa. Not it can't be, but it's unlikely. Because when do you ever need a minyan d'oraisa? Parsha Zachar. So that was the case. Rabbi Lazar was in the shul. It happened to have been, the Gemara forgot to mention that detail, that it happened to have been the one day of the year where you actually need a minyan, where it's on a d'orais level for Parsha Zachar. The Rosh says, not mistaver, that was the case. Probably he was talking about a regular minyan. So why is it so important? Because it says, mitzvah d'rabim, even if it's d'rabbanan. is going to be doche the asei diyachid. So what's the mitzvah derabim midrabanan? Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, all that is midrabanan. The requirement of a minyan for Dover Shem Kedusha is only midrabanan. That is what the Rush suggests.
What about Pasuk?
So what do you do whenever you have a what seems like a daraisa, and then the Rishonim say that it's really drabanan? We always give the same answer, asmachta. Right? You have to say that this isn't a drasha gemura; it's an asmachta. The fact that you have machlokas about exactly where it's from in different places in Chazal maybe helps along to indicate that it was an asmachta, that there was no consensus on this issue. Nor do you find direct machlokas. It was just, you know, one comment here, one comment there about where we get the idea of minyan. Makes it sound like it was more of an asmachta, but that's clearly the way the Rush understands. So that's one issue, daraisa drabanan. Second issue, is it ma'akev, meaning is it impossible to do a davar shebekdusha without a minyan? Because that obviously complains. Now we typically don't. We don't do baruch without a minyan. We don't do kaddish without a minyan. We don't do kedusha without a minyan. But is that absolutely necessarily true? Because can we at least use it as a sniff lahakel? Let's say I'm waiting for nine other people to finish. I'm the shliach tzibur. I'm waiting for nine other people to finish. Eight other people have finished, but that last guy, he's davening and davening. He doesn't look like he's, I haven't even seen him go down for modem yet. So, and other people are looking at their watches already. So can I at least use as a sniff lahakel that even if this doesn't count as a minion, even if it doesn't, which we'll see whether it does or doesn't, but even if it doesn't, maybe as a sniff lahakel, maybe you're allowed to do chazar sashats without a minion. Maybe it's not ma'akev, the chazar sashats, just that we're generally no egg, to only do it with a minyan. So Nadbi Yehuda brings a raya that it's not ma'akev. It's an unusual raya. Nadbi Yehuda is in Evin Ezer, which is not where you would expect a tshuva about having a minyan. Evin Ezer is, of course, Hilchos Ishus, Kiddushin, Gittin, these kinds of things. So why is the Nadbi Yehuda talking about a minyan? The Nadbi Yehuda was asked about a Mesader Kiddushin, who wasn't careful to make sure that there was a minyan by the Birchas Erusin and by the Nisuin. And they wanted to know, is she Mekudeshes or is she not Mekudeshes? Does the marriage work? Is the couple married? He wasn't so makbid. So the first thing that the Yehuda says is the guy's a moron. That it's one thing not to know, and that's okay. Not everyone has to know everything. But it's another thing not to know, and then to be osik betiv gittin v'kiddushin. The Gemara says that anyone who's not a baki betiv gittin v'kiddushin, lo yeh esek iman. You're not supposed to be a mesader kiddushin. Someone just showed me a tshuva. Rav Asher Weiss wrote recently, he published recently, where someone had asked that there was a guy who was a dentist who was being mesader kiddushin for someone because he got smicha when he was, before dental school or something, and the girl wanted to use a ring that was in her family for generations, so the Mesader Kedushin said, well, we shouldn't really do that because, you know, it needs to be his ring. Tell you what, he'll give two rings. The ring that's in your family, so Harei Mekudeshes li b'taba'os elu Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. So he made up his own nusach for the Amira of Kiddushin, and Rav Asher went ballistic in this tshuva. What kind of thing that a dentist is going to be Mesader Kiddushin, and that he's going to change the way the whole Kiddushin works, and he's going to decide such a thing? He was not happy at all. So Nadav Yehuda has similar criticism of this rabbi who decided that he wants to be Mesader Kiddushin. In this case, it was a rabbi who decided that he wants to be Mesader Kiddushin, but he didn't know some of the basics. So then Nadav Yehuda discusses, but let's talk about whether they're actually married. And he says they are married. It's not ma'akev. Having the minyan is not ma'akev. But maybe that's for Kiddushin. What does it have to do with Davar Shebe Kedusha? Kiddushin is not a Davar Shebe Kedusha, even though it's funny, we call it Kiddushin, but that's because she's Asura L'Kulei Alma Kehegdish, the Gemara says. But it's not really a Davar Shebe Kedusha. Nisuin is not a Davar Shebe Kedusha. The Gemara derives in Maseches Ksuvos that B'Makelos Baruch Elokim, we learn out from Boaz, that you require a minyan for marriage as well, but it's not the same din. But nevertheless, you see from the Nadav Yehuda's raya what he holds about this. If you look in source number 3, v'raya ledavar shesham b'mishnah masechta megillah perek hakori omer in porson al shema ve'in korban b'torah ubirchas chasanim pachos me'asara. The mishnah in Maseches Megillah goes through the things you need a minyan for, what you need 10 people for, and it lists birchas chasanim uber karkos tishav kohen vadam kiyotim v'inei im haya kol ze iku v'afilu b'diavet. If all of this was ma'akev, even b'di'eved, im kein eichi tiru b'yushalmi l'chadchila, im ischilu ba'asara v'yatsu m'ktsasan shegomer. What happens if you start chazaras hashatz with a minyan and one guy walks out? It happens sometimes. People aren't aware of their surroundings. They think that their whatever phone call they're getting right now is an emergency. One guy walks out in the middle of the Chazaras Hashatz. Says the Yerushalmi, Gomer, finish. You can conclude the Chazaras Hashatz. But wait, how can you conclude the Chazaras Hashatz? You lost your minion. You're not allowed to do this without a minion. Ve'ich yigmar zeh levatala. Isn't every bracha you say after that guy walks out a bracha levatala? Bishlam in b'di'evet al salo. So says another Yehuda, if it works without a minion, b'di'evet it counts without a minion, then I understand why you would be gomer. Elishal l'chadchila tzrichasar m'nei kavod kedushas Hashem. L'chadchila we only say baruch hu and kaddish and kedusha and kedushas with a minion as a kavod to the ribono shel olam. But it really is fine without a minion, so we can continue when we lose the minion. So since you started beheter, you can continue. But if you hold that it wouldn't even work, that even b'di'evet it doesn't count and it's no good, how can the Yerushalmi allow someone to continue? So Nadav Yehuda says the minion is not going to be ma'akev b'di'evet, which is somewhat startling, and the raya is not. Does not seem like the strongest raya in the world. It's not just me that points out. Rav Osner in Shevet Halevi Chazal Simin Dal points out the raya is not. Doesn't seem like the greatest raya. What's his raya from? You know, if he would have given me a case where we say, you know, it's Shas Hadchak. You know, you live in a small community and you don't and you have 9 people there, or someone really wants to say Kaddish and it's a yard side or something. So Shas Hadchak, just do it with 9. It's okay. Let him just do it with 9 people. If you would have had such a maramakom, so then I would say, okay, I would have to be moda that would prove that b'di'evet it works without a minion. Because Shas Hadchak d'yevet dami. So you tell me, in the Shas Hadchak we allow it, I would say, okay, fine, that's a good proof. It's not what he's doing over here. What's his raya? That the Yerushalmi allows, if you started with a minion, to finish when one person walks out, when you lose the minion. That's not exactly the same thing. It could be that there is a din that we go basar the haschala, that you look at how things started, and that once it starts, meaning, let's put it slightly differently. What does the minion accomplish? So the Gemara tells us that kol be'asara shchinta sharya, that whenever you have 10 people, the shchina comes. So dvarm shebekdusha, the kavod shchina, is only when the shchina is there. Isn't it possible that there's a difference between bringing the shchina and chasing away the shchina? Meaning, if the default position is the Shechina is not here yet because we don't have a minion yet, so I can't start saying the Dvarim Shebekdusha. But if the Shechina was already there, and we started with the Shechina there, it could be that when that guy walks out, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to say, okay, I'm out also. If he's out, I'm out. You know, it could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina is going to stay once it's started Beheter. So it's not so clear that this is such a strong raya, Rav Azur points out, that just because something started with a minion and you're allowed to continue without a minion, that necessarily means in a b'di'evet situation the whole thing works without a minion.
So by Chazaras Hashatz, you're starting off at 0, and then once you have 10 people answering, that's when you have the Dvar Kedusha. Meaning, did you start off before, because you started off with a minion before Shemoneh Esrei?
We're about to get there. Meaning, what do you need for Chazaras Hashatz itself? You definitely need a minion for Chazaras Hashatz, for the Chazaras Hashatz itself. The question is, what counts as a minion? Do you need...
My question is, using this logic, starting with the Shechina or chasing it away, are you starting, you're starting with 0 before you start Chazaras Hashatz?
I would think so, yeah. Salon Shemoneh Esrei, Salon Shemoneh Esrei, and there's a new thing. So how do we paskin? You know, this is something, as we said, people disagree about these things and it becomes awkward. Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Kuf Chav Dalet Siv Dalet, source number 5, Kishashliach Tzibur Chozer Atfila. When the Shliach Tzibur recites Chazaras Hashatz, Hakal Yesh Lahem Lishtok Ulechavin Lebrachos Shemavarech Hachazan Velano Semein. So first, very big Chiddush. The Tzibur is supposed to be quiet, pay attention, and answer Amen. 3 things. They're not supposed to talk, they're supposed to pay attention, and they're supposed to answer on me. But that part is it's always relevant, but not so relevant to our discussion. Here's the relevant part to our discussion. V'im ein tes mechavnim l'berchosav, if you don't have nine people having kavanah for his bracha, karav lios berchosav levatala. The brachos are kamat brachos levatala. Someone asked me, one of my talmidim asked me, should he turn down an opportunity to be a shliach tzibur at every single minyan that he's ever asked to be a shliach tzibur? Because how can he be confident that there are nine people that are mechavein, shosek, and ona amen? Okay, ona amen, yeah. Mechavein, shosek, maybe. Mechavein, now you're getting into very dangerous territory. Mechavein, shosek, and ona amen. He said, maybe it should be a chumrah that everyone should, try to run away from not be a shliach tzibur. Another reason to be mesariv, aside from what the Gemara says, that you're not supposed to run for gedula. Okay, lechein, I'm not saying that's what you should do. Lechein, kol adam yasa asmo ki'ilu ein tasulaso v'chavim l'berchus chazan. Everyone should view themselves as the tenth man, as if you should pretend as if there aren't nine other people that are listening and having kavana. That's what the Shulchan Aruch recommends. So from this line in the Shulchan Aruch, how many people do you have to wait for to finish Manasseh before you start Chazar Sashatz? Nine, right? It's pretty clear. You need a minion. And that a minion means nine others besides for the Shliach Tzibur. Yechavein, Shosek. You're not doing any of that if you're davening your own Shemon Esrei. And Ona Amen. You're not doing any of those three things if you're davening your own Shemon Esrei. But then you take a look in source number 7, Shulchan Aruch Siman Nun Hei Siv Vav. V'im hischil echad me'asar l'spala levado, ve'enu yachol lanos imam, oshu yashin, afilu hachi mitstarif imahim. If one of the exact minion of 10 people started davening on his own, so he's not able to answer the Chazar Shas, he's saying his own Shemon Esrei. Or he's sleeping, he could still be mitstarif, they could still say Kaddish or Kaddush or whatever it is, with a sleeping person counting toward as one of the 10. Now, same author, same Shulchan Aruch. Over here he seems to be saying, you don't need all 10 people in it. You know, Mechavein, Shosek, Ona Amen. One guy could be sleeping. So which is it? How we reconcile that stira is obviously going to be the key to discovering what to do in those awkward moments after you finish your Shalom Shemon Esrei and you're not sure how many people to wait for. So there are three approaches in the Achron. The first approach is the approach of the Drisha. I put it slightly out of order by accident. Source number 6. Karov be'enai lios bircha shliach tzibur levatala. Kasav beis Yosef, karov avalom mamish. You know, the Shulchan Aruch says it's karov to be a bracha levatala when you don't have nine people. Quiet kavana answering, yeah, karov, but not literally exactly a brach levatala. Ki kvar kasav lo reish siman nun hey, dem hiskel basar v'afil yatsam kasasav hashliach tzibur gomer. Because we learned in siman nun hey that the shliach tzibur could finish even if some leave. V'gam nisbar bebeis yosef v'ksas shonim omisabim shmuos. If some people are sleeping or talking, afil lachay shliach tzibur mispal v'gomer tfilaso. So how does he reconcile it? What's the drisha saying? Yeah, when the Shulchan Aruch says karov to be a bracha levatala, he means it's not kishmak. It's not the best way to do it, but it works. And if you have less than a minion who are in it, you can still start chazar sashatz. But the Shulchan Aruch is telling you that he doesn't like it. Karov to be a bracha levatala, but it's not actually a bracha levatala. Now, so what would you say? You're at a mincha minion, and someone, the chazan finishes the Shemon Esrei, and he looks around the room, and there are 6, 7, 8 other people that are finished, but not 9 other people that are finished. So based on the drisha, you have to pass on the halacha. Meaning the chadchila, we know what to do. The chadchila, of course, you should wait for a 10. But if it's a shasad chak, you know, it's a situation where, you know, we've had in the past where you have, let's say, the Sunday morning early minyan, you know, so sometimes we'll have like 30 people at the Sunday morning early minyan, and sometimes it's the Sunday morning right after they change the clock or something, and whatever event occurs, or it's a vacation or whatever, And, you know, we waited and waited and waited, and a minyan finally came. The people who have been there from them that were on time are, you know, they came early because they have to go somewhere afterwards, and there's a daf right afterwards that's going to, it's gonna throw everything off. So do we need to, so maybe in that kind of situation where it's clearly going to inconvenience so many people, so maybe in that kind of situation you have to be somech on the bidiyavet. But in a typical situation, of course you should wait. That's what it sounds from the drisha.
What's that number? It sounds like maybe 9, but
good.
8 for sure.
Yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Nun Hey, when he says if you have one sleeping or one person is not in it, Mishnah Berurah says, or 2 or 3. He quotes Machlokas HaPoskim about it, but he quotes many poskim that say, I forget who, maybe the Eliyahu Rabbah, that say that that as long as you have rov, as long as you have rov of a minion. So it would mean 5 other people besides for the Shliach Sibur. So that would be the number. Meaning there's no reason to say 8 or 7. It's either 6 or it's 10. Right?
Going back to the whole basis in terms of the minyan that the Shekhinah is Shruya, then, I mean, if you don't have 10 people really paying attention, how
right, so the
that
idea is that the presence of 10 adult male Jews is what brings the Shekhinah. That's what you'd have to say. Right. So that's how the Drisha deals with it. Magen Avraham, in Source Number 8, deals with it similarly, but not exactly the same. Says Magen Avraham, Kasav Maril, Aval Gav Dekasav Rosh Tabina Sheikhavnu Tes, L'Birch Shatz, K'mosh Kasavim Kuf Chav Dalet Sev Dalet, even though it is in Siman Nun Hey, where the Shulchan Aruch said you could have a sleeping guy. So, what do I do about the fact that in Kuf Chav Dalet it says you need 9 people quiet and listening and answering? Lo Nehigen Hachi. Da Chazid Afilu Misha Masiach v'ino shomei mitzdarif. The chazina, the afilu misha masiach v'ino shomei mitzdarif. Yeah, we're not knowing like Kuf Chav Dalet. We're knowing like Nunhei. So Magen Avraham is a little bit different point of emphasis in the Drisha. The Drisha says it's not a stira in the Shulchan Aruch. The halacha is l'chadchila. It's karov to be a bracha levatal if you don't have a full minyan, and therefore you should try your best to have a full minyan. Does it work? Can you do it? Shasad chak? Yeah. Magen Avraham says, forget Kuf Chav Dalet. We have in Nun Hey, you don't need a full minyan. So Magen Avraham sounds like he's saying that no reason to wait for a minyan. Just wait till you have the majority. And then you have the Shulchan Aruch Harav. And it's sort of unfair for me to list it as Drisha, Magen Avraham, and Shulchan Aruch Harav, because Shulchan Aruch Harav is far from alone in this Shita. I mean, the Shita of the Shulchan Aruch Harav is also the Shita of many, many, many other well-known Achronim. I believe that's the Shita of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and many, many other Achronim. But the Shulchan Aruch Harav says it very clearly. So says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, in Hiskel Echem Yasar L'Spal Tzidosh Manesha L'Vadov, so first he quotes this halacha, that one guy is unable to answer, and he adds, like the Mishnah Berurah does, V'huadin, L'beiz, O'gimel, O'dalid, Kol Shenishar Harov, even if it's 2 or 3 or 4 people can answer, as long as you have the majority, they don't have to answer, they just need to be present. As long as there are 10 people, so that's the key. What does he say? You don't need a minyan if all you're trying to do is Kaddish, Baruch Hu, or even Kedusha if you're dealing with a Shliach Tzibur who has not yet said his silent Shmoneh Esrei. Shliach Tzibur shows up late. He has a yard site or something. So someone had taken the Yamid and had done the silent Shmoneh Esrei before he started Chazar Sashatz. So the person who had taken the Yamid steps aside and lets the yard site take it. So the yard site skips the silent Shmoneh Esrei. He says the silent Shmoneh Esrei out loud as the Chazar Sashatz. That's when you don't really need a minyan. Al Kshashatz Chazar Tzfila Pambeis, but when you're actually doing a Chazar Sashatz, Tzarek Lizar Shi Tess Shom Von Namein Achrav, Shaloya Berchosav Levatala. No, not Karov. He's saying they're both correct. One of them is talking about Chazar Sashatz. Kuf Chavdal Tzom Chazar Sashatz. Nun Hei is not talking about Chazar Sashatz. It's talking about a Kaddish. It's talking about something else, some other Davar Shabakdusha. Or it's Chazar Shatz, but there was never a silent Shmon Esrei. So your brachos can't be Levatol, because this is your Shmon Esrei. Meaning, if I daven Shmon Esrei a little too loudly, you can't say my brachos are a bracha Levatol, because look, I'm doing Chazar Shatz by myself. No, it's my silent Shmon Esrei. So you can't call his brachos a bracha Levatol. But you know when you can call his brachos a bracha Levatol? When he's already davened the silent Shmon Esrei, and now he's doing a Chazar Shatz without a minion. Now, why would Chazar Shatz be different? So this probably relates to Rav Salvechik dedicated a whole yahrzeit shiur to the idea of tefillah bitzibur and tefillas hatzibur. That when it comes to Chazaras Hashatz, the tefillah is being offered on behalf of, together with, the entire tzibur. Meaning in our Salon Shmon Esrei, we're davening with a minyan, we're davening tefillah bitzibur. In Chazaras Hashatz, it is a tefillah offered by the unit called the tzibur. It's not a bunch of individuals that have the added element that their tefillah is being done together with a tzibur. It's the tzibur, the unit called the tzibur, offering a tefillah. Maybe in order to accomplish the unit called the tzibur, offering a tefillah, it's necessary to have all 10 people, to have a tzibur that's all in it, that's all offering the tefillah. And that's why if you ever look at Talmidim of Rav Salvechik during Chazar Sashat, they stand feet together the whole time during Chazar Sashat. Because they're assuming a posture of tefillah to fulfill that element of tefillah's hatzibur. I shouldn't say all Talmidim. You know, every Talmud takes what he takes and doesn't take what he doesn't. I shouldn't say, oh, that guy's not a Talmud or Rav Salvechik if he doesn't. Whatever, you know, there's no checklist you have to check off to be a Talmud of somebody. So it turns out, according to the Shulchan Aruch Rav, something really very different. It depends, you know, we start with our question. The Chazan finishes Shmon Esrei. Can you go on? Can you go on when only six or seven other people finished? So if it's a Marv minion, yeah. Well, he just wants to say Kaddish. He's got a minion there for Kaddish. That's Siman Nun Hei. But if it's a Mincha minion, assuming they're doing Chazan Shatz, right? If it's the Natu Hechi Kedush, if it's a Mincha minion with a Chazar Shatz, or a Shachas minion with a Chazar Shatz, which, by the way, I never understood why Mincha gets the Hechi Kedush and not Shachas. I mean, it either works or it doesn't. Okay, but so if it's a minion that's going to have a Chazar Shatz, then you can't. So if according to that approach of the Shulchan Aruch Rav, it really matters what the really makes Chaps a big nafkamina, what tefillah you're actually davening. Okay, now that's in terms of waiting for people. So lemaisa, what do? What's the oilam naig? I think lechatchila we always try to wait for a minion. If you see that it's difficult, I think we assume like the drisha that as a lechatchila matter we try. But if you see that it's difficult and that people aren't gonna, you're gonna lose your minion every day or whatever, something like that. So then we have what to be somichan. And certainly according to the Magen Avraham, that he thinks we just totally reject kuf chaf dalet. Although there's a certain elegance to what the Shulchan Aruch Rav says, meaning like the drisha doesn't really account for the fact that in kuf chaf dalet he doesn't mention anything about the idea that and it's really okay if you don't have, or that in nun hey, that it's at all a b'di'eved to have the guy sleeping. He doesn't really account for that. The Magen Avraham certainly doesn't account for it. The Magen Avraham doesn't, he's not even goris the steer. It's just like, yeah, he was wasn't feeling well when he wrote Kuf Chavdal. You know, it's like, we're not knowing that way. Yeah, but it's the same author that wrote it. How do you deal with it? He doesn't deal with it. So there's a certain elegance what the Shulchan Aruch Rav is saying, is that he's actually dealing with it by making this this critical distinction. Now, all of that was in terms of the typical situation. What about waiting for the rabbi? Where does that come from? So, why before we get to why yes to wait for the rabbi, well, why not? What would be the problem in waiting for the rabbi? So the obvious problem is that there's a concept that we apply in a couple of places in Shas called Tircha de Tzibura, that even the Glila Sefer Torah, having the Sefer Torah rolled to the wrong place, you'd sooner take out a second Sefer Torah so that it could be rolled to the right place rather than have to be Gola the Sefer Torah while the Tzibur waits for one to be Gola the Sefer Torah. So the Tzibur's time matters to us. So if you're going to wait for the person who takes the longest to Daven Shmon Esrei, that would seem to be a tircha de Tzibura. Bir Alach even writes that the Shulchan Aruch says that you just like you shouldn't wait for the rabbi to finish. I shouldn't say that. Just like one might be concerned about Tircha de Tzibura with the rabbi finishing, what if the rabbi doesn't show up on time to davening? Right? There are some rabbis that are not so punctual, just like anybody else. Rabbis are just like every other kind of people. There are punctual ones and non-punctual ones. So you have a rabbi who doesn't show up on time to davening. So out of covet for the rabbi, should you wait? Wait for him to start davening. So the Bir Halacha says, on the one hand, no, because why should it be matriach the entire tzibur? On the other hand, you have to know the tzibur. You have to know if they know how to run the davening. Meaning, if they're not going to know what to do, and there's going to be, everything's going to fall apart in the davening. We've all been parts of minyanim, I'm sure, in our life. Unless you're the guy that runs everything, you've been part of it. I'm sure Alicia's never been part of a minyan that like no one knew what to do. But like most of them probably been part of a minyan where just like no one knew what to do. No one knew what do we say this today? Do we not say this today? So that Bir Halacha says maybe a reason to wait. But otherwise, it would seem that Tircha D'Tzibur is a significant concern. Also, the Rambam, Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Vav, Halacha Beis, writes that when one is davening with a tzibur, lo yarich es tefillah se yosem idai. Shouldn't daven a long tefillah. They know levir atzma or shus biyado. Davening alone, you could daven as long as you want. And then you want to say, keseder vido yom ha-kippurim, at the end of your private shmona esrei, kesanteit, as long as it doesn't bother anyone else. But you're not supposed to be yarich yosem idai. Where does that come from? So the Kesef Mishnah points out it comes from a Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph, because the Gemara says Kachayim min Hagel Shel Rabbi Akiva Kishay Mispalel LeMatzibur Mekatzer Viola Mepre Tareach Atzibur. When Rabbi Akiva would daven with the tzibur, he was Mekatzer Viola. He would daven a faster davening, not to be Matriach the tzibur. When Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter was in Avelos, he didn't take the Amud, even though he's capable of taking the Amud, but he davened slowly and he didn't want to be Matriach the tzibur every time, so he didn't want to take the Amud. Unless he was davening in the yeshiva or whatever, that would be that was going to be slow anyway. But other than that, he wouldn't take the Amud. Rabbi Hanoch Teller was here today, the past couple of days, so he told me today before Mincha. He said, "I'm really trying to speed it up to fit with what the speed of your tefillah." He said, "Just Shema, I just can't get the words out. I just can't get it out in time. So I'm sorry if I'm taking longer for Shema. I just can't." And he told me that Rabbi Victor Miller, when he was in Avil, he was normally a very slow davener, but when he was in Avilus, he sped up his tefillah because of Rabbi Akiva. It's a basic, you don't need to tell the Maaser Rav about Rabbi Victor Miller or Rav Shechter. You have a Maaser Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is Mekatze Viola, that when the whole tzibur is waiting for him. So it's Mekatze Viola. So that's the concern of Tircha de Tzibura. In fact, the Rama writes that if there are people that are being Marach B'Tfila, don't wait for them, Afilu Hayu Chashuvei Ha'ir. Even if they are the most chashva people, you don't wait for people who are davening too long. So then the question is, okay, but so the tzibur is not going to wait. So should the rabbi just say, go ahead without me? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, yeah, the rabbi should be mochel, should tell them in case he suspects that they're going to wait, they should go ahead without him. Others are not so convinced that that's the best move. Others are concerned, the Chazon Ish, and others are concerned about a lack of Kavod HaTorah. Someone told me that he asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, someone who's serving as a rabbi, should he daven his normal pace and just tell the tzibur to go ahead without him, or should he daven more quickly so as not to be matriach the tzibur? And Rav Chaim told him he should daven more quickly. That there's just a certain avira of Kavod HaTorah that's better off to have than not to have. Now, so the reason not to wait again, Tircha de Tzibura. Why would we wait? So it seems that there are three distinct reasons why one should wait. Magen Avraham in Kuf Chav Dal Tziv Katan Zayin writes that we simply wait because, some people daven. Watch your average, fifth grader daven Shmona Esrei. So what does it take, a minute and a half? And, he looks around to see when the adults are bowing, and he finishes toward the early end, right? And he does the whole act. So are you confident that the fifth grader is saying all the, I'm not, I don't mean to besmirch all fifth graders, but, you're confident that he's saying every word of the tefillah the way it's supposed to be said? No, so what? So the fifth graders and the people whose tefillah never matured beyond fifth grade are going to determine the pace of the davening? That's ridiculous. How could you? So you have to have at least one person who's saying mila b'mila in a way that he can hear it, that you know that every word is being recited. So typically, the person who knows how to daven ka'alacha is one of the chashuvayir. So you pick a Talmud Chacham who knows how to daven ka'alacha, and then you allow that to pace. So that's how the Magen Avraham quotes. The second possible reason is, as we mentioned before, maybe it's just a form of Kavod HaTorah. It's a way to sort of institutionalize Kavod HaTorah in another way. And then the Mishnah Berurah says a third possibility. Mishnah Berurah in Sivkat and Tezvav, after he quotes the reason that the Magen Avraham writes, he says, V'im kishe yiskabet minyan tekef yispalulu yelich achrakach kolach ledarko, meaning, he says, the practice used to be, I started at a bad point, meaning he says, now it's nispashe de minigal hamten al av bezdin, and the reason is, da minika yom bari yisrael lekvoa im av bezdin biyachar eis lil morachar atfila. That it was practiced that right after davening, they would have a little bit of learning, right after the davening. But what's going to happen if they don't wait for the rabbi to finish? The davening will end, the rabbi will still be davening, everyone will go, and there will be no one to say the shir to. There's not going to be any learning. So it's bitul Torah, he says, to not wait for the rabbi. The whole reason to wait for the rabbi is to save the shir after davening. Obviously, big nafkamina between the reasons. That if that's the reason, then if there is no shir after davening, you know, the rabbi is getting out of there right after davening, then you wouldn't have any reason to wait for him. I think the pashtus is probably like the Magen Avraham says, that you just want to at least make sure that you have one person who's saying mila b'mila, who's setting what would be considered a reasonable pace. Okay, there's some more details to fill in, but not for now.